Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Training Unleashed, the show that will help you design and deliver training that's off the chain and will make a difference. Now, here's your host, Evan Hackel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to what I think is going to be a really fun episode of Training Unleashed. First, let me thank my sponsors, C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio. Without them, I wouldn't have a show. Really appreciate you. Today, I have with me Joel Zeff. He is a keynote speaker. He's an MC, workplace expert, author, and humorist. And I just want to start off with sort of a funny little story about him, which is going to lead to my first question. So I do a survey with guests about what they want to talk about. And he said, I want to talk about the power of TADA. And I'm going, I have never heard of TADA. I have no idea what TADA. And then when he tells you, because I'm going to ask him to tell you what TADA is, when he tells you, you're going to go, oh, obviously that's what TADA is. So anyhow, Joel, what is TADA?
It's ta-da, Evan. And frankly, you're the first person that's ever said to me, what is TADA? I'm just going to end the podcast right now, Evan, if that's all right with you. Yeah. Ta-da, it's the power of ta-da. Like when you're a little kid, you know, when we have mine are teenagers, and if you'd like to say a little prayer right now, that's okay. When they're little, everything's a celebration. When you're 3 and 4 years old, you eat a cheese sandwich, ta-da! You know, mom's like, oh, ta-da! Cheese sandwich, and then your son or daughter, they ta-da back to you, and whatever positive support you give them, you know, it builds their confidence, and whatever activity they're doing, they're going to do more of it, and it celebrates them, it gives them confidence. And as we grow older, we don't have those ta-da moments, and I think it's important that every day we have that moment, that ta-da, that celebration.
You know, it's interesting you talk about this, because one of the things that I always like to talk to people about is the importance of enjoying the journey, right? Because people always say, I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I have kids. I'll be happy when I get this promotion. I'll be happy when I'm in whatever it is. If you're not happy in the process, you're not going to spend a lot of time happy. And to your point, if you're not having that ta-da attitude where you can celebrate little things. So let's take ta-da and bring it into the workplace. How do you actually take ta-da and make it part of a work culture?
It's about celebrating those everyday successes. And it's also about being supportive, being positive. One of the things I always tell my audiences is every day when you go home from work, think about all the people that you had contact with, your partners, your customers, your team, your vendors, whoever you deal with. And did you give them that appreciation, that positive support? And more often than not, we forget, you know, time is, you know, we got a million things going on, we forget. And so the challenge there is when you go home from work, however you get home from work, go through the day, think about all the people you had contact with. And then tomorrow, celebrate them, give them that ta-da moment. Tell them, thank you, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for those words of encouragement. Thank you for that support. Thank you for being a customer. You know, they want to hear it, and it's a gift, and it's the best gift you can give anyone. And it doesn't take any money. It barely takes any time to say thank you and I appreciate you. And, you know, when you say that to someone, you get that feeling right there, and it's awesome. And it's a gift, and it's really the best gift you can give anyone, that positive support. And what does that do? That fuels them, and they're going to bring that positive support back to you. And now we're creating this culture of passion and energy and support that's going to allow us to be better innovators, communicators, leaders, whatever we're doing. But it's just about celebrating, taking those moments. And, you know, most companies, Evan, as you know, they have their yearly awards banquet, and that's when they celebrate. But, and that's fantastic, but we've got to celebrate more. Every day there's something that we're doing that we have to, that there's a ta-da moment that we have to celebrate.
How do you self-ta-da? How do you ta-da yourself? Because I'll tell you, my experience in life is that I don't have a lot of ta-da people, right? Yeah. I have people reporting to me and they're not ta-daing me all that much.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little ta-da from my family, but I don't get a lot of ta-da. How do I
self-ta-da? That's a great question. You know, and I say, you know what? If someone's like, give you a round of applause, here's the deal, Evan. I'm lucky. I have a job where I get a round of applause. And that's pretty cool. Like nobody goes to their accountant. No, you know, accountants don't get rounds of applause, right? Nobody goes, oh, that Excel spreadsheet. Woo! Wow. You know, nobody goes behind an IT guy and go, oh man, you coded today, right? I have an actual job where when I do my job, and I don't even have to do it well. People will still, I'm the speaker. I'm the guy on stage with the microphone. People are still going to applaud, right? I have a job. I do my job. I get a round of applause. So I tell my audiences, I like, look, most people don't have a job where you get a round of applause. Show up for work, look around, and give yourself a round of applause. And you know what? The first time it might be a little uncomfortable, but I tell you what, you're going to feel good. And I have everybody in the audience, you know, they all applaud and they give the person next to them a round of applause. And once you start doing it, you're like, oh, this makes me feel, you know, I get a little bump, a little bit of energy, just giving myself a round of applause. We have to make sure we celebrate. If someone's not going to celebrate us, we have to, as soon as we start the day, give ourselves a round of applause. So important. And Evan, I give you one right now, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It's for that. I don't think that's a real conference room behind you. I think that's a photo. I don't think that's a real conference room. Yes, I'm going to give you a.
Yes, I am Mr. Green Screen.
it looks like a next problem.
But a lot of people are listening and they have no idea, but if you go to C-Suite TV and search for Training Unleashed, you can actually see and
gotta check out.
Joel, I will comment that you have an amazing, absolutely vibrant picture behind you. It's fantastic.
That's a friend of mine, an artist, Frankie Garcia III. I've got several pieces. Fantastic artist. Absolutely excellent. I love the bold. You know, obviously, I don't know if you noticed, I'm a little out there. I'm a little bold. I don't know. Have you picked that up, Evan?
I can feel your energy from here.
So that, I love the bold, his paintings and color and use of color is so bold and energetic. And it just, I love it. Thank you.
So I'd like to take a second and talk about company culture. To me, creating the right culture where people kind of get it makes a huge difference. And it seems to me I don't know you that well, but it seems to me that a lot of what you talk about is creating culture. So maybe talk about how companies can create a culture, and then bonus points if you could tie it into a learning culture.
Sure. Every group that I've ever spoken to, and I've done 2,500 plus, every industries you don't even know exist. And they all want the same thing. They want opportunity and positive support. Now, we talked a little bit about the positive support, but they want opportunity. And when you put those two things together, it's amazing what people can accomplish. Unfortunately, those are the two things we don't get enough of, even though that's what we all want. And when we don't get those two things, we're not happy. Obviously, that's going to affect our culture. And those people are going to leave, right? They're going to go find their happiness. And I don't care there's always jobs, always. And so they're going to go work someplace else. And then we're going to rejoice. We're going to go, yay. Because those people that left, their attitude changes. They turn into bye-bye people, right? Bye-bye people, bye-bye. Bye-bye people don't care about the goal, the brand.
I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've let somebody go and been thanked by everybody. And it's like, I'm the last to know.
Yeah, you've let go a bye-bye person, right? Yeah. And bye-bye people don't care about your customers, anything. They walk among us. We've all met them. I mean, Evan, it's a perfect example. But you know what? Sometimes those bye-bye people, they want something. They want opportunity. They want positive support, right? And when you put those two things together, that's what people want. And we as leaders, and I know your audience, primarily trainers, HR, we have to create that culture where we give each other opportunity and positive support. Now, what is that opportunity? Everybody wants something different. Positive support, that's easy. It's the same. We all understand that. But opportunity, you know, Evan, you want something, right? Maybe it's a different role, more responsibility, more creative, bandwidth. Maybe you want to go to a conference or training. I don't know what's in there. You know, we all want more money. That's a given. But that happiness only lasts to the next paycheck. What we want is going to fulfill us. That's what we're looking for. And when we create that opportunity, we create a culture where we're giving each other opportunity, people are going to want to stay. They're going to want to work. You know, yeah. We constantly, I mean, that's the big story, right? Everybody's, you know, the great resignation and people are leaving and they're leaving the workforce. No, they're leaving you. And people have to understand there's plenty of opportunity out there. And why spend time working for somebody or working in a culture that's not going to give them happiness? Now, they might not be able to verbalize what it is they want. But in the end, it's going to be positive support and opportunity. And what is, you know, that opportunity is many, many different things. And if they don't get those two things, they're going to leave. And they're going to go find it someplace else. And
I love the term opportunity because that's what training is, right? Training is the tools to give somebody the opportunity to succeed.
I love
either to do what they're doing better or to do something new that they've never done before.
Right. Build their skills.
Build their skills. And companies that can tie training to outcomes so that the person sees why this makes sense is really powerful. And then if I can tie everything you're saying into it, training has to give people the ta-das, and not after you finished a 6-month training program, but as you go along in that training program, you got to be ta-daing them and sharing with the world their success, their progress.
People makes respond a huge to that. Yeah. People respond to that positive support. And, you know, we've all been, I go back to my background. I started as a journalist and then I went into advertising and marketing, but I started doing improv comedy back in 1993. And so much of what I take is learning about improv and then playing those improv games with thousands and thousands of audience members of the events that I speak at. And they all make certain choices. And I'm creating like a little mini culture when I bring some audience volunteers up to the stage, a little mini culture. And I'm giving them constant positive support. And what do they give back to me? They're more productive. They're a better leader. They're a better communicator. They're funnier. They're more creative. And that's the culture that companies have to create, because those big ideas, those little ideas are going to turn into something special. And you want to give that accountability, that ownership to your team, right? And when you create accountability and ownership as part of a culture, and that's what I do when I bring people up to do an improv game. It's their game. I'm going to tell them how to do it, but you know what the parameters of the game, but they're going to make their own choices because they're going to have ownership.
So Joel, I love improv and I love going to improv. And about a year ago, we had another speaker on improv, but maybe you could tell us about the game and how the game plays and maybe not exactly the game you use, but maybe a game that people that are maybe not super strong at improv, you know, like a, hey, you want to try some improv at work? This is the key to how to start trying.
Sure. This is a perfect, I'll give you a perfect game. And it's perfect for, you know, a lot of times my clients, you know, they'll have like team meetings or huddles before, you know, to start the day. You know, if you're in a various, you know, like a restaurant or a hospitality type of environment, but I think it works for any group, any type of industry. It's called Know It All. It's already a great name, right, Evan?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, you're already the best.
I'm ready for the lead.
you're right. And so I play with three, but you could play with two. There's many different ways. And so you have a conversation one word at a time. So for instance, when I bring three people up to the stage, they sit in chairs. I have the audience ask questions. What's the meaning of life? And then those three volunteers have to answer that question one word at a time. You never know what they're going to say. It's always creative. It will surprise you more often than not. I had an event a couple of weeks ago. It blew my mind. I mean, they just had some next level answers. Take it to your group.
When you say one word at a time, do I like go the...
It's in order.
So they go, so it's like one person, one person, one person.
One person. So let's say, easy, what's your favorite color? My favorite color is blue. Each person can say one word at a time to create a complete sentence, and it just goes back, right, in order.
Fun.
Yeah, very easy, very fun. Great with kids on a road trip, I'll tell you that. Improv games are always great road trip games. But take it to, you could play it that way. Another way you could play it is have everybody in your team or group pair up, okay? So you're a two-person know-it-all, and then they go to another pair, and they have a conversation. So it's not question and answer. It's a conversation one word at a time. Where are you going to lunch? I'm going to go get tacos, whatever. One word, you know, have a conversation one word at a time, two people. And what we're trying to accomplish, several things. Every improv game, you're just peeling back the onion. And, you know, it focuses on teamwork. It focuses on ownership and accountability. It focuses on finding success through change and disruption. It's about creativity. It's about listening, focus, being present in the moment. I can peel back any onion, any layer you want, you know, whichever one's your favorite, Evan.
That sounds like it would be fun.
And it is. All improv is fun. Why? That's why I'm doing podcasts, Evan. it's not really fun, Evan.
Joel, everyone listening to this podcast knows we're scripted.
That sounds fun. It is.
I commend your game. I just think it's an interesting way to get people to have fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the right questions, you can, you know, interesting things can happen.
Yeah, that's just one example. Another example of an improv game, I bring audience volunteers, and it's a road trip. One volunteer is the driver. The other three are hitchhikers. I assign each person an emotion. Once you come into the car, for the road trip, once you join the car, everyone has to be that emotion. So if you're happy, you come in, then both people have to be happy. If the next person is scared, they come in, all three of them have to be scared. If the fourth person is sad, they come in, all four have to be sad. And so much fun. And again, it's really a perfect example of showing opportunity and positive support, because the audience laughs and applaud. And what happens is the audience volunteers, you can see their body language, you can see their confidence building, and they're going to produce more. And that opportunity and positive support, you know, I use the improv games as just visual examples. Certainly they're very entertaining. They're very fun. They create a lot of energy. But I want my audience to see visually what I'm talking about. And so they retain that message and hopefully put that message into practice as they kind of work on their cultures and build on their culture and you know, create that environment that they want and in how they find success and how they lead and how they communicate.
Cool.
Tortle Training's learning matter experts are passionate about designing effective solutions that move the needle. Whether your organization needs development of e-learning courses, instructor-led training, or assistance with creating optimized electronic versions of employee handbooks, our team can help. To learn more, visit tortle.com/learning-development.
So I'm going to change topics completely here. And I want to ask you, how do you make the wrong choice?
Wow. You know, in improv, that's a really good question. In improv, now improv comes from a woman named Viola Spolin. She created improv back in the late 30s, early 40s at NYU to teach her acting students. And so all improv comes from her. They've manipulated people, you know, different groups manipulate the games, put this game together. I've done the same thing, but the foundation is all hers. And in improv, one of the first things you learn is there's always choices.
Yeah.
Some choices are better than other choices. But for when you're talking about improv as a whole, we really try to stay away from that's a wrong choice. Because it's improv. There's no script, there's no rehearsal, there's no plan. So how do you make a wrong choice, right? If you're, now some choices are definitely better.
Joel, I was doing a play on words on your book, Make the Right Choice.
Oh. do you want to start over, Evan?
Well, I'm giving you your back. I was really trying to lean into you wrote this book on making the right choice, so I was trying to be funny.
And I was giving you a serious answer, Evan. I was giving you the props and respect, and you're bringing. And man, you just right over my head. I bow to you, Evan.
So tell us about the book. What's the key takeaway in the book?
The book again is just about choices. You know, when we're talking about culture, we're talking about working together. We have many choices. We're trying to make the best choice possible in how we work together. For example, we're all dealing with a tremendous amount of change and disruption. And what happens is most people, their set plan is frustration. They're impatient. They're tentative. They're scared. They're negative. All that's not going to make for really successful work. And so improv really teaches us when we're talking about choices, when change and disruption happen. Again, remember, improv, there's no script, no rehearsal. And so what we want is to make the best choice possible. And part of what improv teaches us when change and disruptions happen is that we have to be open and flexible to change. That's one choice. We have to be prepared for change. That's going to set our tone and create the right energy and the right attitude. We have to be more present in the moment during change so we can make the right choice.
Yeah, I just share with you something that I do with my sales team. And it really ties back to your celebration idea, is that when we lose a sale, we go, yep, we lost one. And we celebrate it because in sales, there's nothing worse than maybe.
Right. Right.
And if you have a customer, you're working with them, and if the sale is lost, you can waste an enormous amount of time. But when you get that final no, you can now focus on something that could be more productive, right?
That's my biggest pet peeve, is when I want the no. Give me the no. Just tell me you're not hiring me. But don't, like, I'm sending an email and then you ghost me. Like, we had two Zoom calls. We had three, you know, we've 15 emails. Just tell me, no, you don't have the budget. You hired another person. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. My feelings are much more hurt by being ghosted than they are by no.
Yeah. Just tell me, no, we've decided to hire a juggler. That's all I want to hear.
Right? So Joel, I've enjoyed the conversation. You're full of energy and it's a lot of fun. I am sure our listeners want to know more about you. What types of things that people hire you for, who are your ideal clients, and how to reach you. So please do share.
The best way, obviously, is my website, joelzeff.com. Pretty easy.
We're going to say it over again, though, because people are listening. So we're going to be respectful.
Yeah, I'll even spell it. J-O-E-L, Z as in zebra, E, F as in Frank.com. And that you can get to all my other links. You can also, you can find me on Facebook, put a the in front of Joel Zeff. There's three of us, Evan, on Facebook. There's me, there's Brazilian Joel Zeff. It's all in Portuguese, so I'm not sure what he's doing. And then there's Rabbi Joel Zeff. So pick accordingly on Facebook. and then on LinkedIn, again, you can find me on LinkedIn. And I post lots of videos and articles and you asked what people would hire me for. I've done almost 2,500 in that neighborhood, 2,500 events of all different industries. I love it. I bring the ta-da and that energy. I use improv games to talk about opportunity and positive support, staying in the game, being a great teammate, leadership, being present in the moment, finding success through change and disruption, using the improv games to create fun and energy and laughter. And sometimes clients just hire me for the improv game. Just say, I got a client in December, and they're like, it's an evening event. They're like, we're going to play games. If you want to give a little bit of message, but we're here for the fun and entertainment. And I'm all about that because there's no better way to spend an hour than laughing and having fun with your peers and your colleagues and your teammates. I mean, that creates such a level of respect and camaraderie and just energy that I love. I absolutely love.
Anybody listening can tell the energy you would bring to a room. I have no doubt you would.
I didn't even have coffee today. I had a little iced tea. I didn't even have coffee today. I haven't even had lunch, Evan.
Joel, I know you have an offer. Please do share that with everyone.
Yeah. If they send me an email, I will come to their house and do lawn work for an hour.
That's good.
Yeah, it has to be within 10 minutes. It has to be within 10 minutes of my house. I'm only doing it every third Thursday in months that end in an L.
Joel, I live in a high rise and there's no 13th floor. So when people get on at the ground, there's someone who's pushing all the buttons.
Yeah.
And you know, when I'm with my wife, she'll say my floor number, right? And I'll just say 13, please. And we're just looking and looking and looking. It's terribly mean. But in all sincerity, I do know you have a LinkedIn.
Sure. Offer. We talked about several of my messages, and I would love for your listeners. I put together just a quick lessons learned recap outline that's very quick, you know, bulleted. You know, people don't want to read. That's too much. If you put things in paragraphs, it's too much. It's too much reading. So it's a nice bulleted, quick hit messages. If you send me an email through my website or connect with me on LinkedIn, I'll send you the outline, and then we'll discuss the lawn work.
So if I was looking for you on LinkedIn, are there three Joel Zeffs there too?
There, yeah, I might be the only one. I don't know if Brazilian Joel Zeff is on LinkedIn. I don't know. We'll have to check. It's probably pretty easy. You can, I'm doing the big ta-da. There's a big photo. It's pretty easy to figure out me on LinkedIn. Yeah, okay. That's a good question. I don't know if I've checked on LinkedIn. I didn't remember.
It's amazing how many people have your name. I mean, I have a teenage German Evan Hackel out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, you people that have like really common name, you know, Bob Smith. You know, how do you find Bob Smith on LinkedIn? And I've had clients, you know, that have really general, you know, names, common names. I try to find them, you know, I can't find you on LinkedIn. There's maybe three on LinkedIn. Yeah. If there's three, there's probably me. But, you know, on Facebook, like I said, there's three Joel Zeffs. You know, but if you have a common name, how do you find, I can't find you.
You know, it's interesting. My last name's Hackel. It's not a very common name. In Germany, there's a company that manufactures toilet paper with the brand name Hackel. And they, which I've never seen before other than my own name, literally print the name Hackel on the roll. So you pull out toilet paper with my name on it.
You need to have like boxes of that behind you as you're you know, or at least one just case of Hackel toilet paper right next to you.
Yeah, I mean, sending it out as holiday gifts. Think of me.
Absolutely. The Hackel toilet paper, personally signed.
So, Joel, we're coming to the end.
Yeah.
It's fun. We could probably talk for a lot longer, but we love to end the show. If you have one tip to share with the audience, what would that one tip be?
My favorite message in improvisation, and the favorite message that I could say from stage to my audiences, and certainly the best message I could ever tell my kids, what I learned from improv, is to stay in the game. That's the best message improv ever taught me. What that means is when you're in an improv game, somebody's going to say something or do something that doesn't work. It's a car that missed the off ramp. right? And so it's easy. Improv teaches us, you know, you can't quit. You have to stay in the game and find that success. You have to keep building, working with your teammates on the stage to find that success, to get it back on track. That's what staying in the game means. You can do anything you want in improv. You can be loud, you can be quiet, you can be funny, not so funny, you can be creative, you can be a leader, a follower. It all works. The only thing the game won't allow you to do, it won't allow you to quit. And so let's take that to our work environment, our work life. What does that mean to stay in the game? We have goals, we have initiatives, we have challenges, we have obstacles. If we stay in the game, we're going to find success. If we quit, the guarantee is we're going to fail. And I'm not saying quit your job, but we quit goals and challenges. And there's always a million excuses. We don't have the money. We don't have the budget. We don't have the people. I have to learn something new. I have to get out of my comfort zone. I have to stay late. There's a million excuses always to quit. It's easy to quit, right? There's no work after quit. It's easy. But to stay in the game, now that's harder. That means you might have to get out of your comfort zone. You might have to learn something new. You might have to go find a mentor. You might have to work a little late. You might have to put more effort in. You might have to try something different. You might have to communicate or market differently than you have before. And what's going to happen is if you stay in the game, you're going to find success. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It could be next month. But the guarantee is that success is there. If you're a salesperson, as soon as you give up on that client, you've failed. As long as you stay in the game, you keep those communication lanes open, you keep connecting, that sells down the road. It might be a couple years down the road. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. But when we stay in the game, that's when we're rewarded. That's when that something special right there in our heart that we're fulfilled, right? And our passion tank rises, our stress tank lowers. That's the most important tip that I could ever give anyone, is to stay in the game. Success is there. Find that opportunity, get that positive support, that to-dub moment from the people around you, or give it to yourself. That's going to help fuel your tank to stay in the game. You know, find that mentor, make the choice, create that opportunity, be more present, be more open and flexible, change. Anything you can do to stay in the game, and that success is going to be there, and that means you're going to be fulfilled.
I really love the tip. And as I sit here and I listen to the tip, if you committed to staying in the game, you don't constantly challenge yourself to like, do I want to be in the game?
Right.
Because when you constantly, should I keep doing this? Should I do that? You create negativity. But if you're committed to staying in the game, then your thought pattern is, I'm going to do what it takes. Mm-hmm. I think that's really positive.
And it's hard. It's not easy. If it was easy, it's not worth doing. You know, easy is easy, right? Nobody celebrates easy, right? You're not fulfilled from something that's easy. You're fulfilled because you know how much time and energy and effort you spent to stay in the game. And I, you know, can I make a sports analogy?
Sure.
I think people respond. My son plays high school baseball. And, you know, you see not just my son, but all that level, you know, as they build, as they grow, and you see how much time they spend to stay in the game, right? How much effort they spend to work out and go to batting practice and then work out on their own to be a better hitter. And just how much effort, because baseball is a game of failure. It is constant. You are failing every day you play baseball. Something every day. There's not a day where you go, I mean, that's a rare day that you go 4-for-4 and everything you do is absolutely perfect and you win the game. And there's always something. There's always part of failure in baseball, and you have to overcome that failure, and you have to celebrate the success, learn from the failure, and just keep building and growing and putting that work and effort into it. Because when you do find that hit, when you do find that success, man, that's an awesome feeling. Yeah.
Well, Joel, I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. Appreciate it. I want to thank all of my listeners and watchers, because without you, I obviously don't have a show. I also want to thank my sponsor, C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio. Everyone have a great day.
Training Unleashed is brought to you by Tortal Training, specializing in e-learning and interactive online training solutions for corporate, government, nonprofit, and franchise organizations. Tortal makes effective training easier. Just go to tortal.net to gain access to real-world tools that can make a difference. That's tortal.net, T-O-R-T-A-L, tortal.net.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.